I want you to take your Bibles, if you have a copy of God's Word, and turn with me, please, to the Gospel of Luke, chapter 23. In Luke's Gospel, chapter 23, we find the final words spoken by our Lord Jesus from the cross of Calvary. And I want you to hear these words beginning in verse 44 of Luke 23. The Bible says this: "It was now about the sixth hour, and there was darkness over the whole land until the ninth hour, while the sun's light failed, and the curtain of the temple was torn in two. And Jesus, calling out with a loud voice, said, 'Father, into your hands I commit my spirit.' And having said this, he breathed his last." Will you join with me as we pray? Father in heaven, thank you for your Son. Thank you, Lord, for each word that he spoke, even as he suffered and bled and died on Calvary's cross. Thank you most of all for the price that Jesus paid for our sins on the cross as he died. And Lord Jesus, now I ask in these moments that you would move me out of the way, and God, that you would speak a word of encouragement and strength and power as we consider the cross of Jesus Christ. For we pray these things in Jesus' precious name. And brothers and sisters, if you agree with that prayer, will you say amen? Amen. It's been such a blessing this evening to worship the Lord Jesus and to gather around the Word of God. I thank God for Sister Paula as she's read the Word of God to us, and for Brother James and for Brother Lance and for all of our musicians and all the parts of our worship ministry that have been involved in this wonderful service tonight. Last words are some of the most significant, often some of the most memorable words that people ever speak. Some people's last words are sweet, like Arthur Conan Doyle, who wrote the Sherlock Holmes stories. He died at age 71 in his garden, and right before he died, he turned to his wife and simply said to her, "You are wonderful." And then he clutched his chest and he died. Sweet last words. Other people's last words are heroic. We all remember those last words of Todd Beamer, the passenger on United Airlines Flight 93 on September 11, 2001. Beamer helped organize an attempt to regain control of the plane from the hijackers. His last audible words overheard during a phone call were, "Are you guys ready? Let's roll." Heroic last words. Other last words are triumphant. The last words of the great evangelist D.L. Moody were, "I see earth receding and heaven opening." Jesus' last words were more than sweet, more than heroic, more than triumphant. His last words are holy and transforming. And we see that in every one of the words that Jesus spoke as he died on the cross. But I want us to consider these last words recorded in Luke chapter 23, verse 46. "Father, into your hands I commit my spirit." Think about those last words of the Lord Jesus with me and what they reveal to us. First of all, his words reveal a perfect relationship with God the Father. His words to the Father reveal a perfect relationship. He began by saying, "Father, Father, into your hands I commit my spirit." The first word of this cry was Father. And it's so important for us to understand that the one who died on the cross is the only begotten Son of the Father. Crucifixion is the cruelest form of execution humanity has ever devised. The unnatural position made every movement painful. Lacerated veins and crushed tendons throbbed in anguish. Wounds inflamed by exposure gradually became infected. Arteries, especially those in the head and stomach, became swollen with excess blood. The pain of misery gradually increased, and added to all of these pains, there was a burning and raging thirst. That's what the Bible is talking about when the Word of God says Jesus was crucified on a cross. Jesus bore all of this pain, plus the pain of all of the sin of every sinner who has ever lived, being poured out on him and the wrath of God for that sin as he died on the cross. Jesus cried from the cross. He cried out in mercy, "Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing." He cried out in salvation to the thief who died beside them, "Today you will be with me in paradise." He cried out in compassion to Mary and John, "Dear woman, here is your son. John, here is your mother." He cried out in anguish as he bore our sin, my God, why have you forsaken me?" He cried out in suffering, "I thirst." He cried out in victory, "It is finished." And now he cries out in confidence and surrender, "Father, into your hands I commit my spirit." The fact that Jesus called out Father reminds us exactly of who he is. Jesus is God's eternal Son. The one who died on the cross was one eternally with the Father. Hearing Jesus call out Father also reminds us of the incredible gift that God gave us in Jesus. We love that verse of scripture in John chapter 3, verse 16, where the Word of God says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten," what's the next word? Son. He gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. If John 3:16 had said anything else, the power of that verse would vanish away. If it said, "For God so loved the world that he gave an angel," or "that he gave a good man," or "that he gave all the riches of the universe," it would have been nothing when it came to paying the price for your sins and my sins. But God the Father gave his Son. He gave the one, the only one, who can make an eternal difference. He gave his only Son that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. God gave Jesus to rescue and redeem us. You know how much God loves you in the fact that the Father gave his only Son. But then secondly, Jesus' words to the Father reveal an abiding trust, not just an eternal relationship, but an abiding trust. Notice the words again of the Lord Jesus in Luke 23, verse 46. "Father, into your hands I commit my spirit." Consider the power of hands as Jesus died. Consider the power of wicked hands as Jesus died. Wicked hands exchanged the 30 pieces of silver for his betrayal. Wicked hands dripped with cowardice as Pilate said, "I am innocent of this man's blood." Wicked hands stripped him and put a scarlet robe on his shoulders. Wicked hands formed a crown of thorns and put it on his brow. Wicked hands snapped the whip that lacerated his back. Wicked hands slapped him. Wicked hands shoved him. Wicked hands put nails through his hands and feet. Wicked hands divided his garments and cast lots for his clothing. Wicked hands mockingly offered him sour wine to drink. Wicked hands gestured with contempt and blasphemy as they watched him die. Wicked hands. And long before his death, Jesus had promised that he would be delivered into wicked hands. After his resurrection, the angels at the empty tomb announced in Luke chapter 24, verses 6 and 7, "He is not here. He has risen. Remembered how he told you while he was still in Galilee that the Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified, and on the third day, rise." Jesus had allowed himself to be delivered into the hands of sinners. For 6 hours, he suffered at the hands of wicked people. But now, he was entrusting himself into the hands of his father. When our son was very young, we lived in a two-story house, and the staircase was one of our son's favorite places to play. It came down into the foyer, and our son Joshua would climb up the stairs, and he would see how far he could jump down from each step. And so he jumped from the first step down to the floor, and then the second step, and then the third step, and he could do that on his own. But then by the time he got to the fourth step, he would call out for me, and he wanted me to be at the bottom of the steps. And he would jump into my hands, and then the fifth step and the sixth step, and sometimes even the seventh step, and he would courageously, boldly, unhesitatingly just jump out. Why? Because he trusted these hands. Well, you may have long grown too big to trust anybody's hands to catch you when you jump, but I can tell you this, you can trust yourself into the Father's hands. Jesus trusted himself into the Father's hands, and so can you. And when we begin to trust our lives day by day into his good, strong, faithful hands, we can live with fearlessness, we can live with confidence. Friend, we can live with joy no matter what our circumstance is when we entrust ourselves into his hands. To say, Father, whatever you have for me today, whatever it is, even if what you have for me today causes me great pain, I'm entrusting myself into your hands. Jesus' words to the Father reveal a perfect relationship. They reveal an abiding trust, but then finally, his words to the Father reveal a sacrificial obedience. Again, Luke 23, verse 46, Jesus says, Father, into your hands I commit my spirit. Notice those words, I commit my spirit. Those were not words of defeat or surrender. Those were words of victory and completion. Father, into your hands I commit my spirit. The word commit there literally means to set before. Father, I set my spirit before your hands. In other places in the Gospels, that same word is used to describe serving someone food and setting that food before them. For instance, when Jesus multiplied the loaves and fishes, it says that Jesus gave thanks, broke them, and then gave them to his disciples to set before or to commit to the people. And so Jesus was saying, Father, I am offering my life to you. I am serving up my life to you. I'm setting up my spirit. I'm serving up myself to you. And the moment that happened, the Father showed that he had accepted his son's perfect sacrifice. The sun was darkened, showing that God's judgment upon our sin on the cross was complete. The veil of the temple, as thick as a man's hand, from top to bottom was torn, from heaven to earth, showing that God had received Jesus' sacrifice and that we have complete access to God the Father through Jesus and his death. Praise God, because Jesus committed his spirit to the Father, we have no fear in life and no fear in death. Everything that needs to be done to make us right with God has been done. Praise the Lord for that today. You can trust Jesus with your life because he said, Father, into your hands I commit my spirit. A few years ago, Michelle and I were in Kenya and preached in those African churches and ministered to our African brothers and sisters. And Christians in Africa often pray that they will die a good death. Not just near the end of their life, they pray that throughout their lives. I heard men and women pray that prayer in church services. Father, may I die a good death. Jesus, Lord, help me die a good death. And when you hear that, you wonder, what do they mean by dying a good death? Well, they mean something different than what we might mean. For them, dying a good death does not mean dying without pain or even necessarily dying in old age. For them, dying a good death has a specific meaning. It means dying and having the opportunity of gathering your family close to you, around you for the last time, and then having the strength to give them a final charge to live a godly life and to prepare their own hearts for reunion in heaven. And so there was an African man near the end of his life, dying a good death, a believer, and his family was gathered around him. Family and friends were with him in these last moments. And a friend at his bedside asked, "Tell me, brother," looked at his friend and said, "Tell me, brother, do you fear crossing over the river of death?" And the dying man said, "Oh, no, brother, I do not fear crossing the river because my father owns the property on both sides of the river." Jesus crossed over the river of death for you. He cried out to the Father so that you can know the Father. He placed himself into the Father's hands so that you can walk each day holding on to the Father's hand. He served up his Spirit so that you can live each day in the power and the presence of his Holy Spirit. Consider each of Jesus' last words just once more and think about what they mean to you. He said, "Father, forgive them." Have you come to the place in your life where you know that you need God's forgiveness? Have you received and accepted God's forgiveness, the forgiveness of the Father that only comes through the cross? Jesus said, "Today you will be with me in paradise." Have you realized your need and confessed Jesus as your personal Savior so that you can be with him one day in his presence in paradise? He said, "Woman, behold your son." Have you trusted yourself to the fact that Jesus is concerned about you and provides everything you need, just as he provided for Mary and John as he died on the cross? Jesus said, my God, why have you forsaken me?" Remember, Jesus was forsaken for a moment so that you will never have to be forsaken by God for all of eternity. Jesus said, "I thirst." He experienced thirst and pain. He identifies with your needs. Jesus said, "It is finished." He paid for your sins, and death's control over your life has been broken. Has the battle come to an end for you? Have you trusted in him and his finished work on the cross to save you from your sin? Jesus said, "Father, into your hands I commit my spirit." Have you entrusted your life? Have you entrusted your eternal soul into the Father's hands? You can tonight. That's why Jesus died for you. I want you to bow your heads and close your eyes as we pray together. Father in heaven, we love you. We praise you and we thank you. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for loving us the way you love us. Lord, your word says, God demonstrates his own love toward us in this: while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. In this quiet moment, I want you to think about the Word of God. God's love has been demonstrated in this: while you were still a sinner, Christ died for you. He doesn't ask you to straighten everything out first. He doesn't ask you to become a better person first. When we were dead and guilty in our sins, God loved us so much that Christ died for our sins on the cross. Tonight, if you've never trusted Jesus as your Savior, tonight you can. More than anything else, you need to. You need to give your heart and your life to Jesus. You need to receive His gift of salvation. You need Him. And He will save you tonight if you call on His name. In this quiet moment with our heads bowed before God, if you've never trusted Jesus as your Savior, or if you're unsure of where you'll spend eternity, then I want you to pray this prayer with me and call on Jesus and ask Him to save you. So if you're unsaved or if you're unsure of your salvation, I want you to make this prayer your prayer and ask Jesus for His gift of salvation. And then if you're here tonight and you know that you're saved, as I voice this prayer, I want you to give thanks. Just make this prayer a prayer of thanksgiving to God for saving you. You can pray with me in your heart as I pray out loud and just pray like this. Dear Jesus, thank you for loving me. I believe that you're God's Son. I believe you died on the cross to pay the price for my sins. Jesus, I know I'm a sinner. I know I've said things and done things and thought things that do not please you. But Jesus, I believe that when you died on that cross, you died to pay the price for my sins. And so Jesus, right now I turn from my sins. I ask you to forgive me. And Jesus, I ask you to give me your gift of eternal life through your death on the cross and your resurrection from the grave. Lord Jesus, give me your gift of salvation, and I will follow you all the days of my life. For I pray this, Lord Jesus, in your holy name. Amen.